Hello world, what's the song that you're singing? Come on, get happy. That's right, everybody. Hi, it's your old pal Ian here, and I hope you're getting happy in whatever you're doing today, tonight, tomorrow, yesterday, whenever you're listening to this. I hope you're enjoying yourself and your station in life. And if you're not, all it is a simple choice to change it. You just got to think your way into better actions or act your way into better thinking. But either way, you got to fake it till you make it and make yourself believe that things can get better. And then they will. The power of positive thinking. I've been attuned to it. You got to put things out in the universe. And I don't know how I got started on this tangent, but man, I am being a positive Patty right now. And I feel like a sick Sally. That's right. I've been sick for a couple days. I can't shake this. I don't know if it's a cold or if it's some sort of demonic plague, but I think it has to do with smoking cigarettes. And to be honest, I think I'm on my last legs. I think cigarettes have conquered me, and I've wanted to stay smoking, but I'm tired of getting sick. And I'm tired of coughing stuff up and having bleeding gums and coughing up blood, and not like a bad way, you know, in like a fun way. But it just, it doesn't happen all the time, but lately it's been happening more often than not. And I think that's a sign that I gotta quit. I just love the oral fixation part. You get a pack of cigarettes, you pack it, you open it, you pull one out, you put it in your mouth, you light it. Man, takes all your problems away. Give me the beat, boy, to feel my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll. Smoke cigarettes and slip away. That's how that song goes. But man, oh man, do people not like it? And it's funny because people will indiscriminately eat ass and then tell me I'm gross for smoking cigarettes. And it's like the leading cause of death is secondhand ass eating. I don't know if you're aware of that. But yeah, I don't know. I got in a friend's car the other night, and it was a brand new car. And she's like, you know, you're lucky I'm letting you get here when you smell like cigarettes. I'm like, what? I don't smell like cigarettes. She's like, you stink like cigarettes. I don't smell. Most of the time, people don't. I ask people, unless people aren't honest, and they tell me I don't smell like cigarettes, but I don't really smell it on myself. People, I never get told. Once in a blue moon, I'll get told. And that's usually when I'm smoking Marlboro Reds. But then we get in our car, and we're driving down the street, and these guys, a guy and a girl, are on a city bike, and they're driving in the middle of the road, and we're slowly, you know, okay, maybe they'll move, whatever, and they're not moving, and before we even honk, the guy on the bike motions, like, moves his hand behind him, so she honks, and the one girl moves out of the way, and the other guy turns and gives a finger. Yeah. Can you believe it? So I roll down the window, and I go, you gotta move over. And he goes, fuck you. And I go, suck a dick. And then I felt bad. Like, why is my first instinct to say that? Getting a dick suck is good. And then I went, suck my dick. Like, that was what would fix it? Like, that would either, like, drive the insult home, or that amended my feelings towards the situation better? And then we stopped at a red light, and they had to come up to the car. And she was like, listen, if they hit the car, something happens, I'm going to murder you. And I was like, if they hit the car, I'll get out and murder them and then kill myself. Murder, suicide. I would feel bad. So I rolled the window down to get next to the window. And the guy goes, legally, I'm allowed to be in the street riding the bike. I go, man, I ride a bicycle. You have to be over to the right. You can't ride in the middle of the road. And then I go, and listen, so I had a bad day, and I'm sorry I said what I said. And he goes, I understand. Hope you have a good day. Hope you have a better one. That's what I said. And then we drove off. It was, whew, man, it was a real mix of emotions. But I let my anger get to me. Sometimes it's hard not to let anger win, especially in that moment, which is why I think breathing is so important. You know, when something comes up, you got to focus on your breathing, because if you get uptight and everything, then that can just poof, burst right out. Man, really, woo. I'll tell you, I don't know. To be honest, I'm in a bit of a weird mood. I'll speak candidly for a minute. The past 2 weeks, two comics have died, William Stevenson and Kevin Barnett, both of which, William's been around for decades. He was moved to the city from Detroit, and he was homeless, and he would do comedy in the park, which was crazy. And he started to become an MC at the Comic Strip Live, Comedy Cellar, bunch of different clubs in the city, and had done warm up and worked on a bunch of different shows. And he was a curmudgeon, but loved by all. He was really kind to me at the Cellar, and very, very well loved. And Kevin Barnett was a comic who was from Florida, moved to New York, and was instantly brilliant. Wrote on a bunch of different shows, a Carmichael show, Friends of the People, just sold his own show and filmed it with Josh Rabinowitz, and was completely beloved by every single member of the comedy community. I mean, the outpouring of love in his memory has been nothing short of inspiring, and just I'm taken aback by the love and the amount of public showings of affection that are for him. And this person touched every life he encountered. He touched in a certain way and left them with a memory that people carry with them and are willing to kind of put their airs aside and show up and show out for someone who has died, you know, tragically and too soon, with so many things that could come down the line that they were supposed to do in the future. It's definitely incredibly sad. I wasn't close with him. Interactions minimal. But I'm close with a lot of people he was close with, and to see the effects of death upon people you care about is it's tough. And I'm not trying to say things are tough for me, but I'm trying to empathize with the people around me and the people I see. And I know in death is inevitable, and the only thing you can do to overcome it is to learn from it. And the thing you can learn from death is to not let it scare you or consume you, but to inspire you. And I want to, and I try to, and I hope to live a life that will be remembered when I'm gone, and to make every interaction with people something special so that they can carry it on with them fondly when you are gone. You know, you don't want that record to play in people's heads of them to have negative thoughts of you or fleeting thoughts. You know, you want that record to be turned up loud in their head of the magnificent memories that you've left with them, which makes death harder, because when you live a good life and you are good to the people around you and you do leave wonderful memories with people, it's so frustrating when those end. But in the end, those memories play out and can feel like a warm blanket pulled up over you when you were consumed by the good thoughts of the people that have gone to the other side, and it sucks you're never gonna be back with them. That's why I feel like heaven or hell is based on the life that you lived and the memory you leave behind. If you were a shit person, you leave shitty memories behind, that's hell. That's hell for the people that you've been with or that you've impacted. But if you live a good life and you've tried to live your own heaven on earth, you're going to leave heavenly thoughts with other people, and people are going to think of you fondly, and that's the memory you're going to leave with them. You're going to leave a good memory with them, and that's going to be heaven. I could be wrong, but that's the way I look at it, and that's the way I try to live my life. And, you know, I just have a lot of love for people in my life, or people that are listening. You know, gratitude is something that I try to live in. Whenever I'm down, I try to find gratitude in things to pull me out of what I'm in. And one thing I want to work on is expressing that gratitude, not just keeping it inside so that I feel better personally, but expressing that gratitude to other people and the people I'm grateful for so that they know it, because there's only one way to know things, and that's being told and being aware of. And if you keep those things inside, people are never going to know, and you don't want someone to pass without them knowing just how special they were, you know? And I think I think we should all make an effort to let the people in our lives know just how special they are to us. You know, being vulnerable and emotional and sensitive isn't a bad thing. It can be a good quality as long as you don't overdo it. Cry in every interaction you have. Then it's like, well, you gotta change that before you approach other people. But I don't know. It's just an incredible loss to the comedy community and the people that were in their lives and whose lives they affected. And to see so many people that I know and care about being so affected is, you know, it's heartbreaking. But it's also not refreshing, but it's nice to see someone who's lived such a wonderful life have that effect on so many people, because that means that we can all try to live our lives like that and affect as many people as we can while we walk this earth. And to leave a good memory behind is to have a life well lived. And that's all we can really ask for. Man, oh man. Enough pontificating about life and death. Let's get into it. I am so excited for today's episode. I've been a fan of these guys for a long time. I love when I find things out word of mouth. I hope to be the comic that people tell other people about. Hey man, you gotta check this out, check this guy out. Because I found out about these guys through a couple people that said, man, you gotta check this Instagram account out. They are so funny, called Baseball Card Vandals. I'm like, what? What is that? So I go and I look, and these fellas, these two brothers, Bo and Brian Abbott, draw on baseball cards, football cards, hockey cards, NBA cards, Ghostbuster cards, Ninja Turtle cards, any stock card, any card that you could get at a baseball card store, they have taken and drawn on. Not the good ones, not a Ken Griffey rookie card, not, you know, a Honus Wagner. I'm talking, you know, like a Steve Jeltz or a Dickie Thon, you know, fellas who, sure, they made it to the majors, but they didn't leave that much of an impression. And they take these cards and draw sometimes the most nonsensically hilarious things. I mean, my favorite one is an Alex Cole card from the Cleveland Indians. Who's Alex Cole? I don't know. Some jabroni. But they drew in the card and edited the words with black marker, and it's an Alex Cole card, and it says, put an extra coleslaw in a container. And it's him leading off, like, second base, and they drew his hands to make it look like he's scooping coleslaw in a container. That's the greatest, dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And what's so great is that even to this day, me and my friends will screenshot these or tag each other in the Instagram and send it. And I've told so many people about this account. I've gotten told about it. It's so fun to share these back and forth. And it seems that they're only growing and growing and getting more of a following, which is so amazing. And what's even more amazing is that they took the time to talk to me about how they started, what it's like, and where they're going. And it was such a good talk. We really enjoyed the conversation, and you guys are going to enjoy listening to it. And I can't wait for you to listen right now to me talking to Bo and Brian Abbott of Baseball Card Vandals. Here it is. Listen, keep listening. Don't turn off. Here it comes. Hello?
Hello, is this Ian?
Yeah, this is Ian. Is this Bo and Brian?
It is, yeah.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How are you?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
Good, man.
I'm good.
Yeah. Not working?
I just finished watching There's Something About Mary.
Okay, I saw that was on HBO.
Yeah.
Like a couple days ago, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I caught a rerun of it, and I forgot how funny this movie was.
I haven't seen it in, like, 10 years, probably.
Yeah, the Farrelly brothers made, like, a string of, they made Dumb and Dumber, There's Something About Mary, Kingpin, and I can watch those a million times over and never get sick of them.
Yeah. Kingpin is like an every 3-year treat. Like, I re-up on that movie every couple years for sure.
Oh, yeah. I read a story that Bill Murray, like, looked at the script and just threw it over the shoulder and was like, I get the idea. And then just kind of improvised everything.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like all these Bill Murray stories that come out where he, like, puts his hands on your eyes and goes, no one will ever believe you. Like, anyone could make up anything about Bill Murray at this point, and we'd be like, yeah, that pretty much makes sense.
I know.
Right. Such a weird dude.
Yeah, right? How are you guys doing? What are you guys getting into today?
We are, I know this is hard to believe, but we're just drawing on baseball cards.
Get out, you don't say.
Well, we have a free day, so we're making the most of it.
Yeah, no day job today on the holiday, you know?
Oh, yeah. What do you guys do for a day job?
We work as a creative team in advertising, so we try and write commercials and shit.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. But that's a job that only came to us after Baseball Card Vandals, because creative directors in advertising like Baseball Card Vandals, so then they hired us for something we were totally unqualified for.
No way. How did that work out? They just saw your work and were like, hey, do that, but make us money.
Yeah,
we're both kind of artistically inclined, and Bo's a really good writer, so it kind of worked out. He's the writer, I'm the art director, and we make commercials for Taco Bell right now is what we're doing.
Yeah.
No way.
What? Yeah. Taco Bell, Dr. Pepper. What else? Oh, we did some DC comic stuff earlier this year. We're freelancing now, but we're like, we worked at an agency here in LA for full time for the last 3 years or so. But then as Baseball Card Vandals has gotten bigger, we were able to kind of quit our full time job, and now we're freelancing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I am not alone when I say you guys are the weirdest geniuses ever.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks.
Appreciate that.
That's good to hear.
We're definitely weird.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I feel like I'm an old baby boomer. Like, when I look at your work, I go, where did they think of that? How did they come up with that? Like it blows my mind how you guys come up with what you do. And I'm just in awe every time I look at a new card you guys do.
Well, thanks, man. We
appreciate that.
It's definitely been, like, it did not start out that way. Like, we've been weird, I guess, for a long time, but we like to think that we've gotten a lot better as it's gotten bigger. Like, we kind of continue to work on our craft, and that's good to hear. Thank you.
And the weirder they are now, the more they entertain us, because we've been doing it for so long. So it's like we could turn, you know, we could turn a baseball player into, like, Luke Skywalker, if his last name is Walker. And that's fun, but it's not as fun as coming up with some weird joke that absolutely shouldn't exist, that no one's ever, a sentence that no one's ever said before.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm particularly a fan of when you guys mentioned poop, or, like, you know, like, my dick is a third leg. That one came out the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those always hit the mark.
Yeah.
Hit the funny bone.
Yeah. What? I mean, how? I mean, I've read very, and I know you guys have a book coming out, and I want to get into that later, and I know that goes into kind of the history of you guys, but I've read a little bit, and it said that you guys started just by taking cards that you didn't like when you were younger and drawing on them. How did that start? Like, can you guys give me kind of the backstory of everything?
Yeah. So basically, I mean, we're both huge baseball fans and artists, you know, as kids. So we always had tons of baseball cards and a shitload of markers in our house, basically. And, you know, as anybody who collects baseball cards knows, like, 99% of them that you get in the pack are shit. They're commons. They're not players that you want. You want the King Griffey Jr.
Plus, they're really ugly, ugly people.
Yeah.
so we recognized that, you know, pretty early on. And we knew that there had to be something better than, like, a 89 tops Don Assy.
Right,
you know,
right.
What we turned this thing into. Because it's all there. I mean, they're still cool. We still like old baseball cards, but, you know, there's just, it's the nature of cards. Most of them you don't want. Even if you love them and collect them, like, the whole reason a King Griffey Jr. rookie card is cool is because the other 700 cards in the set are not the King Griffey Jr. rookie card.
Right.
That's why it's cool. So all those cards, yeah, we basically just started drawing on them when we were kids.
Because we knew, even at an early age, that they were worth nothing.
Yeah.
And they will never be worth nothing.
Right.
That's very funny, the concept. How old were you guys at the time?
I don't even remember. I mean, literally in the single digits.
That's very funny to imagine 2 9-year-olds looking at a grown man who has a baseball card and being like, "You're worth nothing."
Well, I mean, it said it right there in Beckett.
That is the truth, though.
Yeah. They've worked.
In Beckett, half the cards weren't even, like, you know, in 1990, you get, you know, the Beckett, and they would say, like, you know, this card is worth 15 cents, right?
Right.
They would literally put a card that was worth 15 cents, they would list it. So if you weren't even listed, you weren't even worth 15 cents.
How do you think that these guys look themselves up? Like celebrities and people today look themselves up on Google to be like, what are people saying? Like, do you think that someone in 91 looked themselves up at Beckett and was like, I got to get my shit together.
Yeah. Yep. Still a common.
After all these years.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how it started was back then. And then in 2012, we had always kind of, even as we became adults, when we would kind of get back together and hang out, we would make cards just for fun. And in 2012, we started a Tumblr. And we just decided to post 2 cards a day, one of mine and one of Brian's. And then, I mean, they were bad, too. The first ones we did were just so bad, poorly drawn, not funny jokes.
Yeah, we didn't go into it thinking that we were going to start this thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like, Bo just put them online and just said, oh, by the way, I put this one online, and we're going to put one up every day.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this will last a week.
Right.
And like, what was it, 2 weeks later?
2 or 3 weeks later.
I think we were on BuzzFeed.
There was a BuzzFeed article that was like, Baseball Card Vandals is the best new Tumblr, something like that, which then got us, like, I mean, at the time it felt crazy. It was like 500 followers after, you know, a couple of weeks, but we didn't know any of those people. We didn't expect anything like that. So we just kept doing it. And I feel like the only reason we've been successful with this is because we just keep doing it.
We
posted 2 or 3 original cards every single day since 2012. It's like well over 5,000. You know, original cards. Just
do it every day. It's inexcusably a humongous part of my life.
What? How did that happen? You made a Tumblr and you're like, well, we're just going to update it and nothing. Like, you didn't send the link out. You didn't tell anyone. It just came to you?
Yeah, one of our friends tipped off like a Yahoo baseball writer.
Mm-hmm.
He sent it to him. He's like, he kind of read this guy regularly, so he knew his kind of taste. And he sent it to him. He was like, I think you'd like this. And that guy wrote an article on Yahoo Sports. I think Yahoo Sports is actually the first piece of of media. It was just like, check out this entertaining Tumblr, basically. And then from there, I'm guessing, we don't know, but we're guessing that's how the BuzzFeed thing happened. And after the BuzzFeed thing happened, it just, you know, I mean, that first year, we got like a write-up, like a couple of them a week, because it was new. No one had seen it before. So it was just like, what is this thing? You know,
we were as shocked as you were when you saw the first dick joke. We were just like, this thing just kind of found its audience.
I mean, we were on MLB Network like a month and a half after it went up. Like the Hot Stove show they do with Harold Reynolds. They just like put 4 of the cards up and talked about them, and they did it a few times, like in February of 2013.
And then we just kept getting graphically more outrageous.
Yeah,
which is fine. I mean, we're not for everyone. We understand that.
It got gradually more not safe for work. You know, but
Yeah, is
but, but we like to think we have a good, unpredictable balance of not safe for work and, like, extremely G-rated jokes, too, you know?
Yeah, and they're so whimsically, absurdly silly, and, like you'll see one that is, you know, like, a dick joke, and then you'll see Teen Wolf, or you'll see, like, watching men carry dolphins, and you're like, that's just good, wholesome fun.
Exactly. Yes. And we like to keep guessing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and the ones you come out with for the holidays or like even the political ones, it's very funny to see like a political one sandwiched in between dick jokes. It's like that's a way to get the message out. You know, you put the pill in the cheese. Exactly. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
What are
put the vegetables in with the dessert, you know?
Yeah. That's how my parents made me eat vegetables. They put broccoli and briars and fed it to me. Do you guys have like are you planning? Because like, I'd be interested in seeing the ones that were just so horrible. You're like, these should never see the light of day. Like your open mic ears. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, we have a monster box full of them.
We have two.
Yeah, there's just so many that we've done that are not that funny. No. To be honest, we like now we have the liberty of kind of they're for our eyes only. Like being our own creative bosses. Like if Bo does one and he throws it to me and I don't laugh, then he knows it's not that funny.
Yeah.
So we kind of bounce our ideas off of each other. And that's why we work well as a creative team, too. It's kind of the same process.
Right, yeah. And it's interesting. You don't throw them away. You keep them like some sort of creative hoarder.
Yeah, because you know, when we do this, we also have, obviously, we have cards that, like, loads of cards that we haven't drawn on yet.
Yeah.
And we sift through so many of them that sometimes we even give them to, like, the Goodwill or something.
Yeah.
We give, like, the cards that we've, you know, looked at so many times to give them to somebody else, and we don't want, you know, the ones that we've done that aren't that funny, like going to, like, a child who's got his baseball card.
Right.
You know, so we have to separate them somehow.
Yeah, it's like the cutting room floor collection that no one will ever see.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. You guys, like, could... I mean, you have a book coming out, but you could also do, like, an X-rated coffee table book with, like, the ones you make. Like, so these are kind of like a Rorschach test into the minds of some seriously, like, beautifully demented people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we could make a full porno.
I mean,
we just need a good animator, and then we'll give them the cards, and then it'll be a full-length porno.
I mean, guys, that's the next project. That's what's going to happen after the book.
That's really not bad, Ian. I like where you're headed.
I like that idea, too, of, like, a not-safe-for-work book, you know, that's, like, you know, wrapped in paper like a penthouse at an airport or whatever.
We could have a completely G-rated book as well.
Absolutely. That's what makes you guys so great is that you were just so universal in the appeal. You know, you found a market for everything.
Yeah. Even like an absurd amount of must-see TV 90s specific NBC Thursday night television jokes.
Yeah.
We do those like Friends and Frasier jokes.
I mean, if we see the word Ross on a card, it's pretty certain it's going to Friends.
It's like an inside joke among us to see how many Ross jokes we can put online without people just rising up in revolt. Like, we know they're not even that funny, but it's funny to us to keep doing them for no reason.
Right. I mean, in the current culture with everyone getting taken down for old tweets, it'd be very funny if you guys were taken down for too many Friends jokes.
But that's the ship I'm going to go down with that ship.
Yeah, you die on, you make that hill and you die on it. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's the way I'm
going to
go.
Yeah. Oh, shit. That's great. Yeah. I mean, so you guys were doing this for years and years just as like a fun hobby, putting it out, still working day jobs. And then like, was the goal to put out a book? Was the goal to get more traction? Or is this just something that you truly did for yourselves and it's just karmatic that things are going well for you guys now?
I think that's a good question. I think that initially when, you know, after the first year, we were thinking Coffee Table Book was like the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Took us a while to get there.
Yeah.
We got close a bunch of times, but again, like Bo said earlier, we found that, you know, the good things happen when we just continue to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. when we don't try and, you know, get a book deal or something, I mean, those opportunities come, and they come by people asking us instead of us, you know, trying to get there. I mean, we don't really know what's next after this book. You know, this book launches in March. It's actually on Amazon right now. We don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
But as long as we keep doing what we're doing, I think good things will happen.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we don't have a master plan. We never did. We put them online, and it kind of blew up. And so we're just trying to entertain people and make people laugh a few times a day. And then, like Brian said, like, for instance, we tried to get a Coffee Table Book. We sent out lots of proposals and, you know, got a lot of rejection letters. And then Chronicle Books, about a year and a half ago, just came to us. And, you know, they were fans of it, and it just kind of happened that way. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, look at us now on this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
Because we're putting this shit online, and, you know, things happen.
Yeah. Did you guys ever think that one day all your work would pay off and you'd be on this podcast?
I mean, we could only have dreamt.
Yeah. Pack it in. Goals have been met. Yeah, I mean, I think that's such an important message, and I think that's so, I need to hear it, I know other people need to hear it. Like, things happen when you're not searching for them, you know what I mean? Like, when you're doing something that makes you happy, and you're doing it for yourself, and you're doing something that truly creatively fuels you, things come your way, and every time you kind of try to make things happen and manipulate it, I know for me, thing I fall short. And then I'm not happy because I've been searching for this thing with the expectation of getting it, and then I don't get it. I'm like, well, what is this all for? But when you're doing something for yourself, just makes everything that comes along with it that much more worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point. And less stress too.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if we're thinking about what everyone else wants all the time, which, I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, what everyone else wants. What people want from us, but yeah, it's much less stress, and I think you put out your best work like that.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that has been probably the best part about this whole Baseball Card Vandals experience for me, and really the most surprising too is, you know, when we first got an audience and we didn't really know what to do with it, it's like we would try sometimes to make jokes about the most popular thing at the moment and think it was going to be a big deal, and it was like, it never was. But then when we would do jokes that we thought were almost like too inside jokey that made each other laugh, right? It's like, I do it, throw the card at Brian, and it makes him laugh. And it's like, will anyone get this? And then we put it online, and yes, they do. Like, there are a lot of people out there that get your weird sense of humor that you would not think would play in a larger audience.
Right.
And so it's always kind of like, really from the beginning, it's rewarded us for just doing the things that we think are funny. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, which has been pretty awesome and surprising.
And we have a lot of inspiration too. We you know, we dig comedians. We have, you know, people that we love. Like, for example, I'm a huge fan of SNL.
Yeah.
I watch it every week, but that gives, you know, it gives me stuff to play with every week, you know, watching comedians and doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know as a comic myself, I have so much more fun when I'm on stage doing what I want. And I used to do this thing where I was like, well, I want them to like me, so I'm going to do what I think they want. And then I wanted to put a gun in my mouth. And then the second, you know, like when you're trying to live a life for other people, you're never going to be happy. And then the second I start to be like, you know what? I don't care. I don't care if these people like it or not. I have to do what I want to do for me, or else I'm going to go insane. And then you're kind of like, oh, this is the life I want to live. This is great.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think it, like I said, for us, I think, at least for me, when I have the most fun with Baseball Card Vandals is when it's like you almost like pare it down to the simplest
part of it, right? Which mm-hmm. is like when it, that day that you make a really funny card and you take a picture of it or scan it and you put it online and people laugh at it. And like, mm-hmm. that's all we ever really wanted to do with this. And it's like, some days you're doing so much other shit with it that, you know, you're like, oh, baseball card vandals is this thing that, you know, takes all this time, whatever. But it's like, what does it need to be? What do you have to do? What is it all about? It's like, it's just about making a dumb piece of art and putting it online.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that part.
Yeah. And it's so great. I mean, you guys are brothers, and that must be so fun to have kind of, you know, a partner in crime aspect in it, where I love the idea that you make, you know, Brian makes one, he throws it to Beau, or Beau makes one, you throw it to Brian, and you guys, it just makes you giggle and you're like, that's the one. Like, that's there's something so pure about that that's so fun. And I think that translates into why it's so popular, because everyone can relate to like doing that thing that makes your friend laugh, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that it's like, I imagine it's kind of like what it's, you know, I was never in a serious band when I was younger, but I imagine it's kind of like that, where, you know, the great thing is I think if either one of us were doing this individually, it probably would have stopped a long time ago, because there's something cool about having a partner or partners to be like, okay, here's what we do. We post two cards, maybe three cards every single day. And then you kind of have to show up for that other person and do that. You know, it's like,
right. Accountability.
You can't be like, yeah, you can't just be like, I'm tired or hungover, or, you know what, the last couple weeks have been kind of boring, I don't want to do it anymore, or anything like that. It's like, you just, there's that little bit of responsibility to the partner, to the group, that I think is, in any creative process, even if it's just yourself, to have that responsibility with yourself. It's like, set some parameters, be like, I'm going to show up and do this shit this amount of time, and then, you know.
Yeah, I guess you could say baseball card vandals helped me grow up. it did wonders to my responsibility.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's so funny, you know, like drawing these pictures and just shitting all over these poor men's lives has just really made you guys become better men yourselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so great.
Because of it.
But you know, we appreciate the hell out of all the men on the cards too. It's like, we never, our jokes are always, like you said, they're absurd.
Yeah.
They're not like about the actual people on the card. Like, we don't do drug cards about players who have had drug addictions or shit like that. It's not like commentary.
It's never malicious.
Yeah. It's absurdity. It's like, it's not like a, you know, a snarky sports talk, you know, attitude.
Yeah. You're not taking Daryl Strawberry card and like making his nostril huge. And you're
No. Exactly. I love that man. Yeah. He's a hero.
He's one of my heroes. And yeah, I mean, like Bo was saying, we don't find that stuff. We don't find that very funny.
No,
yeah.
It's not.
You know, no.
And I don't think you guys would have success if you were like malicious or mean or like at legitimately shitting on these people. Obviously, you know, it's funny to take, for lack of a better term, these nobodies and then make them a somebody through making silly art, you know?
Yeah.
Like have any of these guys or people on the cards contacted you and been like has Chris Smith been like, I love your All I Want for Chris Smith Is You card, and like contacted you and be like, I need that.
Wow, you're pulling that one out. That was
like 2012. 2014. Listen, fellas, I'm a fan. A good one, okay? Now. I'm a baseball vandaholic. Okay.
We appreciate
you're
that.
The best.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had the first kind of big fans that we had that were like legitimate celebrities. I'm not sure if you or anyone who listens to this podcast is going to know CM Punk.
Yeah.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, millions of followers. And he was like the first person that
over a million Twitter followers
would retweet our stuff, and I mean, I don't know much about wrestling.
Yeah,
you know, we have wrestling cards that we do, but I don't think that was it. He was just a fan of it, and he's a Cubs fan as well. So
yeah,
so he would like retweet the Cubs stuff. But oddly enough, it found its audience, and then of course with him comes this whole group of like, you know, wrestling fans. Yeah.
I know nothing
about some wrestling. And some wrestling fans that are also professional baseball players, like Josh Reddick,
yeah,
and CJ Wilson. I think those were probably our first two kind of current major league fans was CJ Wilson and Josh Reddick. And then
you're thinking more baseball players. Like it's really weird. We have
Brett Saberhagen follows us, Glenton Rush.
Yeah.
Glenton Rush, who's a pitcher for the Cubs. Mark Grant has always responded really well. He's a Padres broadcaster and he was like a pitcher in the 80s. Jim Campana. I think we made a card that said "Don't touch my panis" or something like that. he bought it. It was his card. He bought it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Has anybody ever commissioned themselves? Like, has anyone ever been like, "I'd like you to take my '91 Donruss and turn it into gold"?
Well, we just did a commission for Phil Hughes, current pitcher Yankees. Twins, Padres, but one of his best friends is friends with a friend of ours, and so basically his friend got in contact with us and wanted us to make one for his birthday, so we did, and he loved it, and put on Twitter, it was like his favorite birthday gift and shit like that, but yeah, it's been like a great response to everything we do, and I think, like you said, a lot of it is because I don't think players are like afraid they're going to be, you know, joked about on there because it is so absurd and it's all in good fun and it's all like, you know, there's nothing personal about it.
And
still, you know, we've had this weird kind of, this weird collection of players and, you know, other kind of celebrities that follow us and give us positive responses, but oddly enough, we haven't really, still to this day, have had many negative responses at all.
Yeah.
And I think most of them probably come from our political posts, but that is what it is. We kind of know that that's happening, and we really care.
Stay out of the comment section.
But as far as, you know, it's all been so positive, which is just so, it's just such a relief, you know, to know that we can kind of do whatever we want. We know we're not going to, you know, make anyone look bad or anything, but we're just having fun, and I think people are very grateful for the positive response.
I think
people, you know, really dig that, and, you know, no one has a problem with it. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's fun, man, to see something you like and, like, tag a friend in the comments or, like, screenshot and be like, yo, you got to look at this. Like, me and a buddy... He moved to California, and we text every once in a while, but some, like, a common thread in our text messages is sending each other baseball card vandal things that make us laugh, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great, man. When does the book come out?
So the book is in stores March 5th. It's with Chronicle Books, amazing publisher out of San Francisco. We love them. And, it's available for pre-order now, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
And Chronicle Books,
yeah. So it's got 200, I think it's right around 200 cards in there. Almost half of them are new and exclusive for the book, never been seen before.
Oh, boy.
And then there's like 100, 120 classics in there. So, it's got a little 10-page... introduction on kind of the history and who the hell we are and why the hell we're doing what we're doing.
When you see a card, do you go with like the names on the card and then pick what you're drawing, or do you just start drawing on the face and finding it? Like it seems like a weird puzzle that has like a type of math to it.
It's a
very weird puzzle. Sometimes, you know, the image on the card, the player could be, you know, having a funny expression or something, so that may hit it first, and then sometimes it's, okay, this guy's name is Will something, and then you just try to piece together a sentence or a funny phrase or something that I don't know. It's the Brian's really good at like taking the expression or the gesture or like the
position.
The position of the body would be like a shortstop turning a double play in the air, and Brian will like put him on a swing or something, or like riding a huge bike somehow with the way his legs are positioned.
Brian's
really good at that. I always kind of start with the words, and I like the challenge of like connecting the words at the top to the words at the bottom in a way that is just fucking bizarre.
The people are the ones that Bo does best are the ones that, you know, turn out to be a sentence that no one's ever said before, no one will ever say again, and just these, like, weird, you know, from top to bottom phrases. That's Bo's forte.
I mean...
And the dumber the pop culture reference. So an example of this one of my favorite ones that I've done, and it was not one of the favorites of the audience, but was said something like, "I bet Faith Hill spends all of her time at Mattress Giant with Tim McGraw." Which, like, what kind of dumbass phrase is that? No one ever said that sentence, guaranteed. Like, I don't know if there's a big market out there for Faith Hill and Tim McGraw.
Right.
Or mattress humor.
Or mattress store humor, yeah. But it made me laugh so hard when the sentence came together.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a common thread in a couple is coleslaw. Like, one of them, put an extra coleslaw in a container. Like, that is...
It is
just the smartest, dumbest thing in the world, and I love dumb, smart things, and it's just so funny.
Thank you, man. That's one of the best ones ever. That's an old one, too. That's from, like, 2013.
Yeah.
That's one of the few from 2012, 2013 that we would still be proud of today with the craft of it.
Yeah.
More than anything, when we look back at, like, 2012, 2013 cards, it's like we didn't used to scratch out the logo. We didn't black out words that are unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Like, now we just think our craft is so much higher.
Yeah.
You know? But I will say, you know, that's kind of a classic one. And that card was Alex Cole, played for the Indians at the time. And every time we see an Alex Cole card, of course we think of, okay, this could probably be a coleslaw joke. But how many coleslaw jokes are out there?
Yeah.
You know, and is it ever going to be putting extra coleslaw in a container? We don't know.
We think we might be the world leader on coleslaw jokes.
Yeah.
Although Jeff Foxworthy doing Golden Corral commercials, he probably pitches a few coleslaw jokes every now and then.
Well, I mean, look, the thing about coleslaw is that it goes well with every meal, and a coleslaw joke goes well with every card, so I say keep it up.
It's true. I agree with that.
This
is what people tune in for, is this kind of insight.
Yeah.
Mattress and coleslaw humor.
There's a reason why they call it inside baseball. You know,
deep inside. I don't know if we're ever gonna make it out.
I don't know. I think we're stuck in a loop on the inside. We can't. But that's what we're gonna call the episode: Inside Baseball Vandals.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Oh man, this has been so great, man. Thank you guys for taking the time to talk to me. I'm a big fan, and I know I'm not the only one. And I just get such a kick out of your guys' work, and it was really cool to talk to you guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh yeah,
and we're gonna send you a book. How about that?
Get out of here! That's awesome.
Okay, fine, we won't.
Yeah.
No, I was saying, get out of the inside. I'm stuck here. I need to get out.
What's the address we send it to? Insidebaseball.com?
Insidebaseball.com. Yeah, I'll DM you guys my address, and we'll hook it up.
All right, man. Thank you so much for this. This has been fun.
Yeah, Bo, Brian, I'm really appreciative. Thank you guys so much, man. I can't wait to see the book.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. We love this stuff. Awesome, man. Enjoy your day.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Later.
Bye.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. My talk with Bo and Brian Abbott of Baseball Card Vandals. That was awesome. That was such a fun talk. Felt like I was talking to two old pals. I think that's so great. The biggest takeaway I got from that is that they found success when they were creating for themselves and no one else. When you try to impress other people, you kind of get lost in the sea of what they want, what will work, what won't work, and you kind of get lost as to why you were doing what you were doing and why you started. But when you do it to make yourself laugh and to make, you know, your writing partner or someone you're working with laugh, that's going to translate to other people. I know for me, I have the most fun when I'm making myself laugh. And, you know, I have to trust myself enough to know that I know what's funny. I know what works. I know what works for me. And odds are, when I'm doing that, other people are going to see that and get a better reaction out of it. You know, at the end of the day, when you're creating, ultimately you want success and you want things to work out, but you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to grow on your own so that you can blossom and have other things come about from it. But if you're not happy doing it, what's the point? You know, when you're involved in a creative field, if you're not having fun, no one else is. And to hear them say that, to hit that home and to see the success that they're having, it's just so cool, man. I'm such a fan of what they're doing. And it's really, if you get a chance, or even if you don't get a chance, there's no excuse. You got to check them out. Baseball Card Vandals. And check me out. Come see me live. I got a bunch of stuff in the city. I'm going to be at Vermont Comedy Club opening up for Best Stelling Valentine's Day weekend. At the end of February, I'm going to be at Tacoma Comedy Club opening up for Jamie Lee. And I got a bunch of stuff coming up. IanFidance.com. Check me out. Check yourself out. Love yourself. Enjoy every sandwich. Bye.